The Word of God says so, but because I can feel Him in my soul.
Amen.
And I know. And when you know that you know, amen, then confidence replaces fear. And I know that God is real.
There's
been so many things happen in my life to further reiterate the fact that God is real. If you would allow me just a little bit tonight before I read what the Lord has laid upon my heart. As I was thinking of that song, many, many years ago when my brother and I were just really, really small, we were probably, I may have started to school, and then again, it was so long ago, it was around that particular age. My brother was 2 years younger than myself. Mother began to experience nervous syndrome condition, basically at the point of almost having a nervous breakdown. It was just after the death of our little baby sister, who only lived about 11 hours, I'm told. This was a blessed event that took place. Everybody was in expectation. It was to be the very first little girl born in the Bailey family. It was to be the first little granddaughter after, I think it was 12 or 13 grandsons. It was going to be just a glorious time. The name had already been picked out. It was Deborah Lynn, and it was a tragic thing. It was some kind of blood disorder, and they were not here in Villarica, not able to do the transfusion to save the little baby's life. We have pictures, and baby was just a full-term baby, just a perfect, healthy-looking baby, except that it only lived 11 hours. Mother had a terrific time trying to overcome that, and I don't know if that was probably the main thing that caused her to have this particular nervous condition that basically caused her to go straight to bed. And she began to cry almost all of the time during her awakened hours. And of course, just being little boys, I guess it was 1957, so I was 5 years old. My little brother was three. And we didn't know what to do. We just knew mother wasn't feeling good. And that's basically what we were told. But I remember, and we were living on Harlan Lane Road that particular time. That's the little house that I will always refer to as home. That's where I spent most of my early years. And there was a call made. My dad had pretty much gotten to a point he just didn't know what else to do. And they did take her to the doctor. My old Dr. Barry looked at mother. These are the stories that I heard later on and told her. He said, what's going on? And she said, I feel like I'm losing my mind. And Dr. Barry was probably not known for his bedside manner, said, that's exactly what's going to happen to you if you don't get a hold of yourself. And we talked later after mother had been healed. And how do you get a hold of yourself? How do you do that? What do you do to shake yourself out of a situation like that? What do you do when your nerves are on end and you don't want to be sick, you don't want to be down, you don't want to be stressed, you don't want to have this nervous condition? So how do you get a hold of yourself? And if someone could bottle that and sell it, probably make a lot of money. But one night I almost see it now, it was just dusky dark, just at the closing of the day, and that little haze there, and little did I know that Daddy had called Preacher Bailey and Mama Eider, that's Mother's dad and her mother, to come down. And being small, we didn't really know what was going on. We just thought it was a good time with grandparents. We're visiting, and so they drove up, which was unusual because they lived in Rockmart. We were here in Villarica. And they drove up, and Dennis and I were happy to see them, but they came in. Mother was already laying down on her bed in the bedroom. The light was on, and they went straight to her room. And Dennis and I kind of figured out that something was going on because Mother was crying and Daddy was crying. And Mom Eider came in, and she began to cry. And Preacher Bailey, which is my granddaddy, the founder of this church, went over to the bedside, and he knelt down. He grabbed Mother's hand, and he said, "Baby, the Lord's going to heal you." And I remember that so vividly. Mother just began to lose it. She just began to squall. Daddy's eyes was tears. Me and Dennis was holding each other's hands. We didn't know what in the world was going on. But we knew to be still and be quiet. And my granddaddy began to pray one of the most precious prayers I guess I've ever heard anybody pray. A little prejudice because it's my granddaddy. He began to touch the throne of God that night. And he prayed and he prayed. And I remember Mother raising her hands, and the tears that she was crying changed. It was a different type of cry. She was still crying, but it was more like tears of joy. And she began to raise her hand, and the power of God, I didn't know what it was then, 5 years old. The power of God was so real, and it's like the whole room lit up. And Mother was healed that very hour, not later, and she didn't begin to get better. She was better from that particular time. She testified to it about that several years after that, and how the Lord came on the scene, and how what the doctor had told her, and she didn't know how to get a hold of herself, but thank God somebody knew how to get a hold of God. Amen. And I said all of that to say this: God is real. Even at 5 years old, I knew God was real. Now, I didn't accept the Lord. I was just a natural little boy that wanted to grow up, but that made such an impression on my life, and I knew then, when I pray and when I get my granddaddy to pray, when I really, really, really needed God to answer, I get a hold of Preacher Bailey and said, you need to pray. And God would answer his prayer because he had faith. But it was not Brother Bailey. Understand that. It could have been anybody who had the faith to believe. But what was real was the presence of God in that room. Even at 5 years old, I felt that. And many, many times, I know I've shared this story, and I'm not going to go into detail about that, but how that my brother's arm was broken, and how Mother later in the years testified to his healing, and God healed that arm even after the doctor said that it would never be straight. It was, and that made me understand and know that God was real. Many, many years later, as God called me into the ministry, thank God for my raising. Thank God for those grandmothers and granddads that prayed for me, and Mother and Dad, and established the love of God in my life. And as God began to call me into the ministry, things began to happen in a minister's life that would let us know that God is real. Now, I knew God was real when I was born again. Ain't nobody had to tell me. Nobody had to come up and beat me on the back and said, "You got the Holy Ghost." I knew it. Amen. I knew it without a shadow of a doubt. I knew that. In fact, I was this way. I held off going to the altar because I knew when I went to the altar, I'd going to get saved. And I wasn't ready to be saved. I don't know if that makes sense to you or not, but I didn't think the good times were over yet. I wanted to play it out a little bit and be older when I got saved. But God changed my mind one night, and I went down to that little altar in Rockmart, Georgia, and I found out truly that God was real. And as I was singing that song, these things began to flash into my mind. It has nothing to do with my message tonight, but maybe God needs to be lifted up in the testimony tonight. But I was thinking that as God called me into the ministry, and as he began to prepare me for things that I, ordinarily I would not even want to be a part of, because I would want my granddaddy to be there. But my granddaddy went home to be with the Lord in 1986, and I thought my heart would just absolutely break in two, and I thought the church could never ever recover, because our founder, our pastor, would go on to heaven. And a lot of us said, "What are we going to do now? What are we going to do now? Brother Bailey's not here. Brother Bailey's not here to pray. God, Brother Bailey's not here to be our anchor." And it took us a while to realize that it never was Brother Bailey. It was God in Brother Bailey. Amen. How many knows that God will still sustain you? Amen. Even when leaders go on, God will still raise up people to carry on. And I got a call from a grandmother and granddad early in my ministry, and to come to Emory Hospital. A granddaughter was there, and she had been unconscious for about 48 hours, and they were very concerned, and they had diagnosed her with several afflictions and ailments, and the main thing was that they could not get her awake, and they had given her some a kind of sedative or something, and she was just totally out of it. And they said, "Brother Eddie, if you could just come over and pray, and pray that the doctors could find whatever it is that's wrong with her, and that she'll be able to revive up, and so that they can begin the treatments or whatever that they wanted to do." And man, I felt so unqualified. I felt so small, but I wanted to be obedient unto the Lord, so I drove over to the Atlanta hospital, and I told them who I was, and they brought me up to the unit where she was, and the grandmother and the granddaddy there, which was basically, they were raising the child. There had been some situations in that family, and they were raising that child as their own, and they were saying, Brother Eddie, we're so glad that you're here, and they began to hug my neck, said, would you come into the room and just pray? And we just don't know if she's going to make it or not. She hadn't even shown any signs, hadn't opened her eyes or anything during about 48-hour period. And so I went in, and the only thing that I know to do is pray like my granddaddy did. So we gathered around the bed there, and I began to pray, and I just really felt the presence of God. And I felt that Lord, you know, I don't want to say anything in my prayer that'll build false hope in these grandmother and granddaddy, but Father, I want to pray with faith, believing that you can touch this child. So I was very, very particular with my words, but I began to pray, and then I just felt the Holy Ghost take over, and I just began to pray, Lord, touch her. Lord, let her wake up. God, I pray right now, God, that you would restore this little girl. Lord, she's so young in her life, and God got so much life to live, and I pray right now in the name of the Lord Jesus that you would cause her to awaken, cause her to open her eyes. And just as soon as I got through praying, we were there and was holding the hands, and all of a sudden the little girl moved. She opened her eyes, and the grandmother, she couldn't help. She just started shouting, thank you, Lord. And I know from that very time, it was not, I want you to understand, I'm not testifying about Brother Eddie. I'm testifying that my God is real. Amen. All we need is somebody to be submissive and obedient. My God is real. And even if you have a hesitancy sometimes to pray, if you have a hesitancy, amen, to go and call something done in the name of the Lord Jesus, if you'll understand, you know, God is not going to fail. And if we can have the faith to believe that God is real, He'll even bring that little girl back. And here's the wonderful thing. She got better, and years went by, and we stayed in contact. They'd come to church for a while, and just as Satan, this is the way Satan works now. Several years later, after this girl began to be a teenager, she began to get mixed up with the wrong crowd. Amen? That happens. A little girl that God had basically brought back from the jaws of death, now a perfectly healthy little girl, goes on later on, and she gets mixed up with the wrong crowd, and mom and our grandmother and granddad is very concerned. We get this phone call, and did you go with us that? I can't remember. Maybe Brother Jim did, and there was a couple of other brothers, and they wanted us to come and anoint her room, because her room, according to the grandmother and granddad, had become demonic. They said when they went into that room, there was such a coldness within that room, and she had begun to write graffiti and these satanic messages on the wall, and it was just a terrible, terrible thing. And living within that home, and say, well, Brother Eddie, how could they have let that? I'm not here to be judgmental on that situation. I know sometimes when kids grow up and become teenagers, sometimes it's maybe a little more difficult to really keep them at bay like they ought to, especially when the peer pressure is so vivid in this world today. How many knows that? The Satan would love to take every one of our teenagers, every one of our young people, and sift them and draw them out into the world. But whatever it was, and let me tell you, it probably didn't happen overnight. It probably began to happen just a little bit at a time. And so we went to pray, and there was four of us, and when we went in, and we was all saying the same thing. We don't know what we're going to go in into. We don't know what kind of situation is going to be. We don't know if she's going to be there ranting or raving or whatever. But when we went there, she wasn't there. I don't believe she was even at home. And they said, would you just come and just anoint her room? And we took the anointing oil. Now, you can buy olive oil all you want to. You can buy it by the quart, by the pipe, by the gallon. You can douse it all over the place. But unless you do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, with faith, it's not going to do any good. You can take a bath in it, and it won't do you no good. But if you do it according to the Bible said, anoint with oil and pray the prayer of faith, amen, God will begin to deliver, amen. So all four of us brothers, we anointed our fingers, and we began to anoint the walls. And when we first went in there, it was almost like you'd walk into something that was stifling. It's almost like it was completely void of oxygen. We all began to sort of gasp and cough, and we knew what a shadow, we knew without a shadow of a doubt exactly what that was. That was that spirit of Satan in that room. He wanted that room. He didn't want to give it up. He didn't want the Lord to come in and give deliverance. And if you don't believe that there is a satanic power out there, I am going to assure you, just as much as that song says, God is real, Satan is real too. But we begin to go in and anoint that room and begin to pray the prayer of faith, and all of a sudden, amen, the Spirit of God came into that room. And again, that's kind of an illumination and the power of God. There was such a warmness when we first went in. It was almost like an ice chest. It was so cold in there. But God warmed the room up. And I let us, all four of us brothers, know we went away from that place glorifying and praising God, because God is real. Amen. God can do things that you and I could never do. My God is real because I can feel Him in my soul. Years went by. We had an opportunity. In fact, I'll tell you that I got a phone call from this girl even years after that. And she called, and the paramedics had picked her up and took her to the Villa Rica Hospital. And this was the old hospital. I mean, it remembers the old hospital before the new big one was built. And she called, and I went out there, and she broke down and began to cry and hug my neck and said that I would always be her pastor. And this girl was in such a foul shape. She, you know what years of drugs will do to you, and abuse to your body. And here's the sad thing. The only thing she asked for, she said, they're going to release me. They had already put the stuff in to clean her out, the charcoal or whatever it was. And I'm not going to get really, really explicit about all of that, because we got some young people in the audience tonight. But understand that drugs are bad. Drugs are bad. And the only thing she asked for, she said, brother, she hugged my neck, started crying. I prayed for her. And she said, you've always been my pastor, and you've always, you know, loved me and prayed for me. And I haven't been what I ought to be, but I know God healed me. I know without a doubt that God did. She said, but the only thing I need, I don't want to leave the hospital barefooted. She said, could you possibly go down to the dollar store and buy me a pair of flip-flops so that I could go out? I said, yeah, I'll buy you, you know, is that all you want? You want some clothes? No, I just want some shoes that I can walk out of here and not walk barefooted. So I went down. I brought her some shoes, brought her some back. The little, it wasn't really flip-flops. They were the little, I don't know, the little heel things or something anyway. And she put them on. She thanked me. She hugged my neck. Last time I saw her, I don't know where she is now. I've talked to her grandparents. They're not really sure what she's doing. But she's had an awful, awful life. But I do know that God touched and healed and anointed that girl in that hospital though many, many years before. And I know God is real. And I pray now, wherever she is, that God's protection is upon her. As time went by, I received another phone call. This was from a precious family that we had known for years and years and years. Just good, good folks. And I want to be real, real careful here, because I don't want to give any kind of hint or name dropping or whatsoever. But I received a phone call from a frantic mother. And you could tell that she was excited, that she was nervous, scared. And she said, Brother Eddie, I hate to ask you to do that, but could you possibly come up here to the house? Her youngest son was completely, basically he had threatened the whole family. He had threatened the whole family, and he was just unmanageable. He was just at the point of absolutely raging and throwing things, and the dad and the other brother was somewhat fearful of what he was going to hurt them or hurt himself or do something, and they didn't know what to do. And so I said, yeah, I'll be on up there. And then when you say that, and then when you're going, then you say, well, what am I going to do when I get there? You know, that little fear and that anxiousness comes on you, and, you know, because, you know, you hear things, you know, people getting hurt all kind of times, and if he's not even aware of what's going on, you know, there's no telling what he would do when I got there. But when I got there and I prayed all the way up there, and I said, Lord, you're just going to have to be with me. You're just going to have to give me strength. And Lord, whatever it is, God, you can calm that soul. You can calm that spirit, whatever it is. And so I got there, and the mother And one of the daughter-in-laws was there, and they were just nervous, and they said, he's in the basement, and his dad and brother's down there, but they won't go near him. Every time they try to say anything to him, he just rants and raves. We're afraid he's going to hurt himself or something. And I walked down the steps into the basement, and they were his dad and brother were on this side of the basement, and he was over here, and he was just, to be honest with you, it was like a caged animal. He was just going back and forth and ranting and raving and saying all kind and everything that they try to say, brother, I don't care, brother, you know, this, that, and the other. And so I walked down the steps and I saw that, and I didn't go over to the dad, which I should have done, and the brother, and try to settle him down. I walked straight to him. And when I walked to him, I just put my arm around him. Now, I know that had to be God, because if I'd been... had not had the Spirit of God, I don't know that I'd have done that, because I had no idea what he was up to or what he would have done. But when I put my arm around him and I just began to tell him that, you know, this is not you. This is not you. These people around here love you. You don't want to hurt them. You don't want to hurt yourself. And I just began to talk. And the more I talked, this seemed like the more his spirit began to settle down, and finally he just fell down to his knees. He began to squall, began to cry. That night I began to pray. His brother and his dad came over, and then the mom came all down, and he cried, and he hugged their neck, and he apologized, and he said, Brother Eddie, you was a hero. No, I wasn't. I was a zero. God was in the room. Amen. God doesn't need us, but we need him. Amen. And that's what I'm saying. God is real. He is so real. And time and time again, I could tell you these things that God did. And I was an eyewitness to the ability, because, you know, you could have read about that in the newspaper. Something could have happened drastically, except that God was there and God was real and God calmed his spirit. I can tell you the happy ending. That young man is doing well today. He's doing great. He owns his own business. He's just, every time he sees me, he puts his arms around me and hugs me. And I'm so thankful to know that God is real. Why do I know that? Because I can feel him in my soul. God is a deliverer. God is a redeemer. God is a healer. He's all of those things and more. And I'm going to leave a scripture with you tonight, amen, that I hope that it encourages you to know that whatever you're facing, whatever situation there is, God is able to be there, because God is real. You don't have to stand if you don't want to. I'm just going to turn to Psalms 103. I was reading this afternoon, and I was intended to go in a totally different direction, but God laid that song on my heart tonight as we were playing before church, and I began to think about how real God is. Time would not allow me to tell you how many times that God has healed and blessed and anointed and healed Penny when she had that with her lung. It was a little blood clot in her lung, and she was just feeling bad. She thought she had the starting of pneumonia, so she said, I'm going to run up to the hospital and let them check it out. And, of course, I had the kids at home and Kevin and all. And, you know, finally, I wasn't hearing from her. I was trying to call her and all. Finally, she called me back and told me what had been going on. She said, but that's all right. I done prayed, and God's done touched me, and everything's going to be all right. And I'm panicking on this side. But then I realized that her faith, amen, God was real even when we couldn't be there. And God touched her and anointed her and healed her body. Amen. Say with me tonight, my God is real. Say it again. My God is real. Amen. David writes, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Can I just remind you what what the psalmist David has said about God's benefit package? First of all, he forgives our iniquities. My God is real.
Amen. My God is real. I heard about it all my life. I heard about it from my granddaddy. But amen, it was materialized that night. I went to the altar. I found out that God is real. His word is real. Even my sin, even my iniquity, God forgave me. He washed it away. The psalmist David knew that, and he said he is a forgiver of our iniquities and our sins. Not only did that, but let me tell you something. The psalmist goes ahead and says he heals all our diseases. Amen. I'm so thankful for the testimonies that God has caused me to be an eyewitness to, that He can still heal diseases. He can heal afflictions. He can heal any kind of bodily ailments there are. Why? Because He is real. Amen. He is not a fable. He is not fictitious. Amen. My God that I serve is real. Hallelujah. Not only, amen, does He forgive us, not only does He heal us, but David said He redeems our life from destruction. How many knows without the Lord, we're all on that path, all on that road for destruction. But thank God He puts a stop sign up there, turns us around, gives us a detour, turns us to an old-fashioned altar, and saves us from destruction. Aren't you glad that God is real? Amen. Not only that, David said He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. Never in my life have I felt any greater tender and mercy than when the Lord became Lord and Savior of my life. And still, even in those loneliest times, I can still feel the love of the Lord as He encompasses me, wraps His loving arms around me, and crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies. Satisfies our life with good things. Boy, I wouldn't have time to tell you all the good things that the Lord has done for me. More than I could ever deserve. Amen. In fact, I'm undeserving of any of the good things. It was enough that He just saved me. It was enough that He forgave me. But He crowned me with loving kindness, and He began to bless me with good things. And I attribute every bit of that to my Lord and Savior. God is real. Amen. And then finally, He renews our youth. Can I tell you that there's times that when I'm standing in this pulpit, I feel like I'm 16 again. I know I don't look it, but there's times when the Holy Ghost comes on me, I feel that there's no old age whatsoever around about me. I thank God for that. God's benefit package is great. It's wonderful. Why? Because He is real. My God is real. Give Him a hand clap of praise tonight. Do you love Him? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Stand to your feet. God bless you. Giving you an opportunity to come down to the altar. I know we had altar service before church tonight, and that's great. That's wonderful. I'm glad that we're in a church, amen, where we don't have a stamped program. Amen. If we want to come to the altar before church service, that's all right too. In fact, that's probably the best time to do it. Then you can enjoy the service the rest of the time. Amen. But certainly we don't want to leave or dismiss tonight without giving you an opportunity. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, every saint of God praying, if you have a need tonight, whatever it is, come to the altar tonight. We'll rally around you and pray with you and pray for you. Is there one tonight? Well, I want you to know from the depths of my heart, I love you each and every one. And if you don't take anything else from this service tonight, understand and know this. My God is real. Amen.